Hey everyone, welcome to Buzzing About Romance. I am Becky, and joining me for this episode is Jenny. Hi, Jenny.
Hi, Becky.
Hi, Leah.
Hi.
And Heather. Hey, Heather.
Hello.
And Lindsay. Hi, Lindsay.
Hi.
If you are currently sad because we went back to our old and boring intro, you can blame production. He got grouchy.
Why did he get grouchy?
I don't know.
Production runs the show.
He sometimes likes to take the pizzazz out of life. Like, I'm jazz hands and glitter.
Well, I don't know about the glitter, but definitely just jazz hands.
He's not.
Glitter's the worst.
I love glitter. I love sprinkles. It's all exciting. Anyway, how is everyone? Happy spring. It is spring.
I'm tired. It's been a long day.
Happy baseball opening day. Lindsay, how Happy many baseball romance have we read this week?
A lot. But did we want to talk about how my husband forgot to renew our MLB subscription for opening day?
We all need to know this, yes.
The first time in at least 15 years, I didn't watch a single baseball game on opening day.
How is Charlie still alive?
He's not in the state.
Not here.
Oh.
Yeah, he's not there.
Yeah, there was many sassy baseball
text
messages exchanged.
And you live like in a third floor walk up, so there are stairs that he could accidentally trip and fall down.
Mm-hmm. Does he know like to sleep like with one eye open from now until the end of eternity?
I was very dramatic about the whole thing. I was like, he was like, did you see that this game ended this way? I was like, I don't care. Nothing in baseball happened today. Like,
no, of course I didn't.
Because I did not get to watch a game. I waited how many months for baseball to come back?
Did you tell him my husband's an asshole? So no, I did not see that.
That is some like gumption to like talk about.
For 5 days. With no baseball. Anyway, he very quickly resubscribed. So all day Friday, baseball was on. All day Saturday, baseball was on. I got to watch a lot of really good games. I'm very excited. I'm happy now.
Okay.
But still a little bitter.
It's opening day. It is sacrilegious to disrupt opening day in any way. Like, work already does that enough.
You mess with the baseball juju.
Don't mess with the baseball. So speaking of opening day, people might not realize technically book season, signing season, whatever we want to call it, was officially opened last weekend with Sweetgrass. None of us were there. Amanda was there. Heather, you're headed to Denver in 13 days.
16? I'm going to look at my countdown.
16 days.
How many countdowns do you have right now?
15 days I leave for Denver. I have a countdown for Wings of Fire, which is a book that my youngest loves.
And it's is that one that he's been waiting for?
Yes, that comes out on May 7th, and he is so excited.
It's so funny.
Knockout. And Knockout is in 89 days and 13 hours and 55 minutes.
Well, so Jenny and I, so if you guys are listening, the reason I'm going to go through this real quick is I kind of just want to let everyone know where they can find some of us throughout the signing season. And I'm sure we'll be picking up stuff as we go. So Heather is headed to Denver. I believe she will have some buzzing swag. So if you find Heather at Denver, make sure you stop, say hello, get a picture. She has swag to share with you. Jenny and I will be at our Barnes & Noble. It's mine, not Jenny's.
Like you own it.
We'll be at the Barnes & Noble in Malmy, Ohio this coming Saturday, April the 6th, for that signing. So again, if you see us there, stop us, and we'll have swag on us. And then Jenny and I will be in Columbus, and we are hoping that Leah will get her stuff together and be in Columbus with us.
I will also be at North Iowa Book Bash in early May.
Early May. So
is that the same weekend as Columbus?
May 3rd.
Or is it the week?
No, theirs is Iowa Book Bash is the third weekend in May.
First.
The first. Oh, yeah. So Iowa and Columbus are the same weekend. So Jenny and I will be in Columbus with hopefully Leah. Heather will be in Iowa. So again, make sure you stop and see one of us. If you see us, stop us, because we will have some swag on us. And then a mass of us, a group, are headed to Louisville for Knockout the last weekend in June. We're just waiting for confirmation from one individual if she's buying a plane ticket or not. But you might see the majority, if not all, of the Buzzing About Romance hosts in Louisville.
Louisville will never be the same.
It will never be the same.
It's not ready. Hold up.
I mean,
and then in October, Jenny and I will be at Authors in the Bluegrass in Lexington, Kentucky. So again, if you see us in a signing, some of us will be wearing Buzzing t-shirts, some of us won't, but you know what we look like. Stop us, get swag, and tell us that you're a listener, because we would love to hang out and meet you. Okay, so that's where that is. What are we talking about today? I will tell you. Today, we have an electrifying discussion lined up for you as we delve into the world of romance novels featuring first responders. Caveat, not all first responders, though. I will get to that in a minute, though. Together, we will explore the realistic representation of EMTs, firefighters, doctors, and nurses in romance books, discussing everything from the portrayal of their professions to the complexity of romantic relationships amidst the chaos of emergency response. So grab your favorite beverage, settle in, and get ready to dive deep into the heart-pounding world of first responders and romance novels with all of us. Caveat on this is we will not be talking about police or sheriffs in the main part. We might have people coupled together that are police or sheriffs. For example, What Hurts Us by Maggie Gates. He is a police officer. She is not. I'm in the minority in this group, but I think romance has a propaganda problem, and I just don't want to recommend police romances. It's great if you love them. I struggle with them. So we're not talking about them. They can go away. Those are my thoughts. I just, you know, there's a political thing there. Anyway, we're not going to talk about that. So we do have to say, out of all of us, Jenny's spouse is the only one that has a first responder style job. The rest of us, we're just going off of what we learned on TV watching ER.
Hey, my mom's a nurse. That counts, right?
Does that count?
I am like first responder adjacent. I went through a period in college where, you know, like when they're doing their testing, they need volunteers to get all cadavered up and play the part of some kind of massive trauma victim. And I was that person.
Lindsay, you were an accident victim?
Volunteer, fake. I got like fake movie star gore. I don't think they all do that, but like they all do the training. They all have to pass that.
It's like high class training there.
Wow.
Our little EMS station does that for like mass casualties because my kids have done it.
It's so fun to be a participant. And then like they give you food and they're fine.
That's worth it.
And they're like really, they're like supposed to be very serious about it. And they're like doing the whole thing. And they're like, this is really awkward. I'm touching like you in bad places. And it's like, I consented to this. I signed a consent form.
But so kind of to piggyback off that, that is in one of Vanessa Vale's series. So in her Manhunt series, that's how some of them get together. Like the cop comes in and like, or not the cop, the doctor comes in. And they do all the, and it's so great.
It's so, so great.
I forgot about that one.
That it was so funny, that one, because they make him get in the back seat of this very small car. And they're like, you have to stay like there until we get you out.
And like, they like basically, all the first responders in town, like basically force this grumpy doctor to be their friend. And then, like, you know, three books down the line, he's like, they're, you know, bells on. It's so good. Oh, mm-hmm. That series is just so good.
I do it like really that is. Series. And the newest one is really good too. FYI, mm-hmm. Manspread. Anyway. Okay. So we're going to just start right there with realistic representation. Now, again, please note, Jenny is the only one who has a true understanding. I personally will tell you that I was a medical GI fellow for 21 years now, which is, you know, not a true thing. I mean,
my kid. You had a shit ton of knowledge.
I have a shit ton of knowledge.
When you were in the hospital with the boy child.
When you're a medical parent, but you're not really a doctor. But sometimes you feel like a doctor.
Both sides.
Everybody wants to know. Is how accurate is it that they're always getting it on in the spare bedrooms in the hospital? Exactly. It's unsanitary.
But I do think it is somewhat accurate.
Maybe.
So do you...
Okay, it's more likely in the hospital, not in like an EMS setting.
Okay, but in the hospital, do you think doctors and nurses do it a lot all over the place?
Not all over the place and not a lot. They don't have a lot of free time.
I was gonna say they don't have time,
but when they have those like 5 minutes, they take advantage.
Yeah, like
there's a lot of quickies
in the supply closet.
No,
but
there's usually very large windows in the supply closet.
Anyway,
they don't want people stealing those supplies.
Exactly.
This will shock probably not a single person here or listening, but I did my list and I have mostly male-male. Like this is male-male and this is male-female. So
none of us are surprised by this. No. Okay.
I got the rest.
So first question, how accurately do you think the authors that write these types of romance portray the day-to-day life and challenges faced by first responders? Do you think they get at least the intricacies of day-to-day life correct? Jenny says no.
Not always.
Most of the my biggest pet peeve, especially with like first responders versus like nurses and doctors, is like the shift. Like they are usually working minimum of 12 hours, usually 24 to 48 hour shifts. Like the school can't call them and be like, "Hey, your kid's sick." Well, too bad. You're gonna have to keep my kid because I can't.
They can't just leave at the drop of a hat.
I just will say though, Manhandle by Vanessa Vale. He's a single dad, and like when he's on shift, his dad comes and stays with his son. And then did the dad fall and break his leg or something?
Yeah, something like that.
And so that's how the heroine comes into play. She comes and stays with the little boy and then has to. So I will say there are some authors that do the shift work, right?
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, like I find it so interesting, particularly when we start looking at like the doctor romances in particular, like how free they to come and go, right? Especially like high end. Okay, first of all, have you ever shaked hands with a surgeon of any kind?
Yes.
They do not like give you a hearty handshake. They're like weak. They like just slightly shake your hand.
They have delicate tendencies.
I mean, honestly, I was scared to death because I was like, dude, should I even be like touching those? Like, yeah.
I mean,
take an elbow.
We're just like, so like if we start looking at like Jay Salmon's her Dr. Billionaire series, those dudes are doing things that I don't know any top end surgeon in the world that would do those things. Like,
but they're billionaires. They can do what they want.
I guess.
I mean, yeah, you can until you're like putting your hands inside another human being and doing something that can massively affect their life. Like, I don't billionaire be damned at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, that's just, I mean, ripe for a lawsuit right there.
Well, and I will not recommend any Jana Aston doctor because she has wrong that is a doctor, but you know, because that's like doctor patient.
Well, don't they do it like on his table?
Yes.
Well, One thing I've noticed is like
there's a Lonnie Lynn Vale that they do that too. And she ends up pregnant.
What table? Like the surgeon's table?
The exam table.
Yeah.
Oh.
Because they're the gynecologist table, because they're both gynecologists in those books. So stirrups are handy.
Oh. Bad
imagery. You're welcome for all
the Leah, not one of us asked you to go that far.
We like got it when you said gynecologist. We were all on the same page.
And even when you said stirrups, we were all kind of like, okay, enough. Stop. And then
it's been a long couple of days. The filter is kind of gone.
This is not a safer public consumption location, so like it's fine. I enjoy this.
So I think for me, given the fact that I don't have anyone in my family or anything that's in the medical field, like my neighbor is a nurse, but she works in a clinic. So like her, you know what I mean? So like, I will say that when I'm reading these books, I don't understand their shifts. I'm like, are they on for 12 hours? Are they on for 24? Like what's happening? Especially like firefighters.
Well, some of it depends on the areas too, though, because not all fire stations are the same.
Yeah.
So that's something too.
Well, and somebody said here, they don't think realistic medicine would ever make a good romance. And I actually disagree with that because I look at Maggie Gates' books.
Right.
She got first responders and medicine top tier. And book 3 in Jay Salmon's On the Edge series is her best medical representation of an ER doctor and an ER nurse and how they're
well, but Julie also has a medical background, so that
she does, but I will tell you, she does not get everything right.
No, she doesn't.
Because I felt, you know, there were a couple I'm like,
but I'm saying that
doesn't
helps.
Work like that.
Well, and that's the thing, like no one knows the whole scope of medicine, right? Like like EMTs, like literally their job is to like paste you together and get you to the hospital to someone else that knows what the heck they're doing.
Right.
Like they're just keeping you alive.
So do you think though that in these romances they get the emotional toll and the stress, the mental health aspects of it?
Times.
Not just only sometimes. Okay.
I think that would take away from the romance, if I'm being honest.
Yeah.
Like, I think about, like, I've read some teacher romances, and they don't really get the stress of that job. And so then I can't even imagine, like, what an EMT or a doctor or a firefighter, like, you know what I mean? It would kind of maybe be too dark.
Yeah, and I think that's, like, I think that's good. That goes into, like, kind of the thing you were saying earlier, Becky. Like, I think romance has a tendency to romanticize these jobs, like to definitely paint them in a more romantic light than it is, because like the reality is I can't imagine there's anybody in medicine who hasn't struggled with the mental aspect of it at some point. You don't see that very often in romance at all.
The other thing we never get in romance, particularly the doctor romances and even some of the nurse romances, is the astronomical amount of debt that those professions have when they get their medical degrees or their nursing licenses.
Yeah.
Like no doctors talking about the 7 overtime jobs, or that they work in the ER, but they are also working at the physician's urgent care as a side gig and moonlighting. Nobody's talking about that in the romance. So obviously, you know, there's some realistic aspects that are not touched on because
it's fiction.
It is.
Like, it's fiction.
There's also a wealth of residency or permanent type jobs for doctors in the very small town that they grew up in.
That's well, not realistic. Thing, like,
the matching does not work like that.
Okay, so do you have recommendations of some realistic representations? Obviously, we all know Maggie Gates is going to be, she probably has some of the best representation that we've read. Mm-hmm. firefighters. I think Manhandle by Vanessa Vail does a really great job of dealing with the shift work and the stress of trying to be a single parent. Nora Roberts' Blue Smoke, which he's a fire investigator. And and she's a firefighter, so who turns into a arson investigator. So it's dealing with some of that, and that's really well done. And then Butterfly Bayou Nurse Practitioner. I think that's
that one.
An excellent rep of small towns not having actual doctors. She's a nurse practitioner that's taking over the clinic because a doctor can't afford to work there, which is really very realistic. And she talks about having to send patients on to Houston for anything more than Band-Aids.
Well, and I will say Marie Force, her Gansett Island series, it is long and you have to read them in order or you are lost. And there's like 10 billion of them, but like they are on an island and there are actual doctors, but there are people that have lived there. So like they come back and like the wealth is there. So that's not really an issue, but like the way in which they talk about like the like available things that they can do there and like the demand and need for those people on the island. Like, I think she does a good job, even like with her fire, like fighters and like they're like all of the first responders. Like she does a good job of like the aspect of like the small town, but they're also separated because they're on an island too.
Heather, what do you have for realistic representation?
I actually just read two firefighter ones this week. They are so Annabeth Alpert has an Up All Night. He came back to a small town. His dad is the fire chief and he was a captain somewhere else. He came back to town after a divorce and he went back on the line, as he calls it, and like loved just fighting fires again. And he fell in love with a line cook. And so there the line cook worked overnights at the diner. So they had like similar shifts. Right. So that's where the shift kind of came in. And then another, a single dad, Fireman and the Flirts by AJ Truman. And he was more like a volunteer firefighter in a small town.
Jenny, what do you have for realistic representation?
Definitely Maggie Gates. Like, I mean, I said that to you after we read the first one, like it was one of the best representations of EMS that I've seen. I also have Ophelia Martinez, Sensation, I think was her last book in that series.
The Heartland Medical.
Yeah.
Our Heartland Metro Hospital series.
Correct. The female character is a nurse helping the single dad, and just like her shift work, her like fatigue, mentally and physically, well represented.
Lindsay,
Sorry.
Go ahead, Leah. Do you have another?
Yeah, Erin Nicholas, her Big Easy, Boys of the Big Easy. She has one, Nice and Easy. So they're two single parents. The heroine of the story is an ER nurse, and the hero is a firefighter. And they actually like trade off like babysitting because like with their like shifts are so like weird that they can actually like work it. So like one of them is always with the kids. And then sometimes it works out where they don't, but they have other friends that can do it. But like, they talk about like the shifts and like how they're like the ER shifts and the firefighter shifts are like so out of whack. So it's sometimes it's hard to like find the childcare because they're both single parents.
Yeah. And that's something that we see a lot of single parent representation in these first responder romances, but that's like a challenge all on its own. And I will say, like, Ignite by Melanie Harlow actually did a really good job with that, because when he was on shift, the kids were with mom, like that was their custody arrangement,
right?
So it worked. Lindsay, what do you have for realistic representation?
I don't think I have very much realistic representation. I thought Getting Real by Emma Chase was a pretty good one in terms of like the relationship between nurse and doctor and like to keep those boundaries. And then there's an incident where it's like a close loved one is in the trauma unit, and I thought like the way they handled that was pretty realistic.
Yeah.
Like keeping the boundaries in place like that you would expect. I don't want to give anything away. And then I actually like, I also kind of wanted to argue that search and rescue can fall under EMT, because like EMT is not trained to do wilderness response, and search and rescue is like an extreme version of EMT.
We didn't really. Go ahead, Jenny. Sorry.
No, that's all right. I think that's where you get like the crossover. Like, in some cities, firefighters are also paramedics, and other places, like EMT and fire, are completely separate. So, like, we have water where I'm at. So the firefighters would do the search and rescue, while the EMTs would be on the bank, and they'll take the body once you find it.
Yeah.
Where I'm at, search and rescue is like totally different. It's its own thing, because you have to, like, you have helicopters to respond, and then you have to be able to carry a body 4,000 feet elevation change. Like, you have tests for it. It's really intense. So I was just going to say, like, in general, I've noticed that, like, in romance, those are the ones I feel like are most accurately represented. Like, when you see those situations, because you tend to see like the darker parts, like either they're recovering a body or
well, and we didn't we didn't really talk about either the firefighters that are the wildfire, the fire,
like the smoke jumpers,
the smoke jumpers and stuff like that. We didn't talk about them really yet either, because I think that those are actually fairly well done. I think Sierra Hill has one that they're, you know, but then you also have like Kilby Blades and what she did with her forest for the trees, where they're, you know, fighting forest fires. So we didn't, haven't gotten into those, but you're right. There's really good realistic representation in search and rescue and in smoke jumpers and wildfire fighters. Okay. So we probably should have started this question first, but you know, whatever. So we said this is first responder episode, but one of the things that comes up is oftentimes doctors and nurses are lumped into first responder. But then oftentimes you will see first responder romances listed as blue collar romances. So it creates kind of this question of, are first responder romances blue collar romances? Like, I'm thinking of the blue collar book box that Aaron Nicholas organized. Those had firefighters and police, but not doctors. So, and doctors, obviously, we define, at least I believe stateside, it's defined blue collar is based on, it's supposed to be more physical work with less education requirements. But EMTs and firefighters, the amount of classes and certifications that they have to get to be a firefighter, like, it's not just, hey, look, today I am a medic. Like, there's a certification, there's a, you know, classes, it might
be. You have to go to school for that.
So I feel like the blue collar, because it's not traditional blue, blue collar is supposed to be unskilled labor, you know, factory workers, farming and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, but people throw mechanics into blue collar also. And like mechanics, like,
tons of certifications.
Places, like, you don't have to have some certifications, but to work in certain areas,
so
I have to go through classes.
I ended up on mechanic TikTok the other day. And the girl was like at the dealership, and she was asking the different mechanics how much they still owe on their tools. Like, I did not realize that mechanics, even if you work in like at a dealership, you have to buy your own tools. Dude's like, I still owe $6,000 and I don't even have the Corvette tools yet. And I'm like, cheese and rice.
Different cars take different tools sometimes because their measuring systems are different.
Well, a lot of blue collar jobs. So I actually defined it a little bit differently. I didn't define it as unskilled. I defined it as a learned physical skill, because many of them have a, like, so I came from a region where like a lot of people went to work at a shipyard and they did apprenticeships So they teach you the skills they needed, like welding or like running cable or whatever they're doing. Like there's a ton of dangerous stuff they're doing down there. So like to me, it's like a learned skill. Like you can't just go be a firefighter. Right. Like you have to learn the skill for it. Like you were talking about, there's a lot of certifications that go into a lot of those jobs. There are some that are less so, but I think it's just as intensive in some circumstances as getting a college degree. It's just more hands-on work.
It's the because you figure if you're looking at like some of like the labor unions and things like that, like they go through months and months of training before they're allowed to like go out into the field to do their job.
Yeah.
So, but those would be considered more blue collar.
But I would say too, that I think people think like electricians or plumbers or whatever, it used to be where you didn't have to go to college. You could just do like a course and then do an apprenticeship. That's not true anymore. You go to like a 2-year, you know, trade school, and then you go into an apprenticeship. And trade school is not cheap. Like relatively, instead of a 4-year college, it's less expensive, but it isn't cheap.
So Jenny, do you think that it's correct to perceive EMT and firefighters as blue collar workers?
I think so. From my personal experience, part of the reason my husband became a nurse was that we couldn't like sustain life with 4 kids with his schedule and his pay. I think that like that's not something we discussed here, but like these people are not making bank, taking you to the hospital or putting your house out. Like, I mean, some places, like, they don't even charge you if you need your house put out, right? Like, they're government positions and not making money.
So you think that blue collar is more defined, at least in romance. We are not talking real life here, people. We're just talking romance. Would be more about pay grade.
Yeah, I think so. Because, I mean, they could have all the certifications in the world, but if they're not getting paid for it, like, does it make a difference?
In Australia, Allison says paramedics, their EMTs, it's a university degree.
Wow.
So, but, you know, typically, if we look at what we define as white collar, what we define as blue collar, first responders kind of float here in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They're definitely, like, a group of people that...
It's like its own entity.
Yeah, they don't get acknowledged until you need them. And then everybody loves them.
Yeah. Okay, so one of the things that we do is, do you think professions, though, such as doctors and nurses, which are often seen as the white-collar side of it, do you think that those can be portrayed in blue-collar contexts within the romance novels? Do you think doctors and nurses can be defined within a, if you would classify that as a blue collar romance with a doctor and a nurse?
I think that's harder.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I mean, it's done.
That like a nurse, you could probably, I wouldn't argue that a nurse is blue collar, but you could argue for a nurse being blue collar because they're the ones doing all the work.
Yeah.
Doctors aren't very hands on. At least not here in the United States.
Yeah.
Nurses have a very high level of degrees. Like, I have some friends that are nurses and they have like multiple, like master's degrees. They're like similar to the teachers that I work with where they have a high level of education.
A lot of, and they're constantly going back to school too.
Don't they have almost as much education as a doctor, and the main difference is residency?
I think it depends on their licensure, correct, Jenny? Mm-hmm.
Yes, it depends on what state you live in. And my husband has an associate's degree. He works as an ER registered nurse, same as someone that has a 4-year degree.
Well, that's the thing. Like, you can get your RN, you can get your BSN, you can get, there's like 2 tiers, I think, above your BSN. Like, there's so many different classifications. Cause, like, my mom is a nurse, and for the longest time, she just had her RN. But she worked in like maternity wards and things like that. And then she went back to school to get her BSN because she could work in different places.
Yeah.
Which is part of it.
Well, and see, my husband has a unique situation because he was a paramedic first, which like EMTs and paramedics are not the same, but we won't get into that. Yeah. not the same. You want the paramedic when you're dying, okay?
They're the ones that can administer the drugs, not just lift and carry you out the door.
Right. But his experience makes a difference in what he's able to do.
Yeah. So do you have any great representation of a blue collar romance that is either EMT, firefighter, doctor, or nurse? Although we said doctor and nurse can't really be blue collar. So
I do.
What do you got, Heather?
Well, it is a nurse. So, I mean, it's a small town, so it's no one's surprised. It's in the series Briggs Ferry Bay, so it's been around for a while.
That's the K. Webster Misty Walker series.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So one of it's called Kyan's Focus, so he's actually works on he's a fisherman on a boat.
Mm-hmm.
And then he kind of comes in and takes care of his sister and his sister's kids. And a nurse helps him, and it's a male nurse, and their schedules are wonky, and it's really good. I really like it.
I will say Reckless at Heart by Zoe York. I believe he is a fire captain, which, again, that's going to play into it a little bit. But his heroine in that book, she's a midwife. So it has kind of that blue collar versus white collar like animosity kind of vibes to it. Like, she knows more and he's like, no, I've seen more kind of thing. That plays into that.
Yeah.
So that's a really great example. And then Hot and Heavy by Mary Carr. Aldo is a firefighter. His partner is a police officer, but the girl that they pick up, when I say they pick her up, they kind of do. They rescue
her
from...
They bring her off the side of the road, basically.
Right. Well, and then the motel catches on fire. It's a whole thing.
She's a single mom.
She's not a single mom. She's the one.
She's not a single mom?
She's the one that's kind of a criminal that's hiding a little
bit. Oh, yes, that one. I'm thinking of... another one of those person.
Kind of a criminal.
She's kind of a criminal, sort of. Anyway, that again is kind of like, it's like blue collar versus white collar, in that like shows different dynamics between the three of them.
Well, and Lexi Ryan's Crazy for Your Love, The Boys of Jackson Harbor. Like, she's a nurse, he's a firefighter, and the way it works in that aspect, but I think it's because it's more smaller town.
Yeah.
And so I think that adds a different element to it. Like, if they're in a city versus if they're in a small town too, like the location makes a difference.
I got it wrong. Kyan's Focus does not have a nurse. It's Dr. Daddy by Misty Walker.
Dr. Daddy.
I like that one. I've read that one. It's a good one.
It's a good one. So sorry.
It's okay. He's a doctor.
It's okay.
But honestly, there's so many first responders in that series, and there's a sheriff, which we know, but there's a lot in that series.
Jenny, do you have any white collar versus blue collar perception? Romances?
Not really. I struggled with this one. And I mean, I just struggle to read anyways, so.
I know. Sorry. Lindsay, what do you got? Anything?
So I don't like reading a lot of doctor romances, because I think the reason they read like definite white collar to me is because they are written like rock stars. Like, a lot of the doctors are so parallel to, like, if you read a doctor romance and then read a rock star romance, and like the heroes are almost the exact same. Like, they're that alpha male, I've got all the money in the world, like
boink anyone I can.
Exactly. And I just don't think that's super realistic to me, but I do really enjoy the firefighter romances. And I mean, I don't know if it's like necessarily a good blue collar rec. Like, I don't know, again, like accuracy at all. But I read the Samantha Christie series.
Oh, the Men on Fire.
We read Igniting Ivy for book club, and then I read the rest of it, and I loved it. It was so good.
Yeah.
So as like a series, and then Kate Meader actually has a firefighter series that I started reading, like when I was doing research for this.
She has two. She has one in Boston and then one that comes to Chicago.
Okay, well, I'll start with Chicago, guys. Anyway, I didn't know about Boston. I'm going to have to find that.
Kate Meader does a really great job with firefighters and shifts. Mm-hmm. I will say she does get the timing down. She also gets down the dynamic in a firehouse. And again, the only reason I know is because, like, there's some family that are firefighters, but they're more like educators. Anyway, the dynamic of the firehouse. Like, I've walked into a firehouse and it is a frat house half the time. Like,
it's its own entity.
Yeah.
Dude's laying
on the couch with the hand in his pants like he's Ed Bundy, and someone's yelling about something. And
also, she's just really good. I feel like I love almost every book. I don't think she gets enough rec. For how good she is.
Kate Meader. Yeah, I agree.
We don't love her enough. I mean, we love her, but we don't love her enough publicly on these things.
We don't. Kate Meader is a good one.
Well, let's change that.
We are.
Yeah. So let's go to romantic dynamic. Do you think authors handle the romantic relationships between first responders and their partners? How do you think they handle it? Did the unique challenges and demands of the profession add depth to the romance, or did it overshadow it? So is the romance bigger than the job, or is the job bigger than the romance, or do they get it right?
I think it depends on the book. Because, like, I've read
Jenny's
some...
just like, they're all stupid.
Like, no, I've read like, somewhere... trying like, to put real life out of it.
Well, and that's the thing, like, you have to kind of separate the real from the fantasy.
It's like we tell Heather, read this book, the hockey's wrong, but it's a really good book.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's just hockey elements that exist in it.
I read one, Lena Hendricks. I know she's not for everyone. I like her. It's One Touch. It's A Friends to Lovers. He's a firefighter, and he has a really bad call. And it's really hard for him. And like, there was also a previous call that really kind of messed with his brain. She does a really good job of like how that impacted him and then how the heroine kind of helps him through that. Side note, the audiobook on that is really, really good too.
Well, and Laramie Briscoe, like, she has a series, it's like cops and EMTs and things like that, but Tank. So they are, the hero and the heroine are both EMTs, and there's a call where the heroine gets like held at gunpoint basically, and like the hero freaks out and basically is like, I don't want you doing this job anymore, but she's like, this is my job, I enjoy this job, like, would I ask you to do that? So they break up, like, that's before the book happens. But then he's in a car accident, and like, she like is the one that like goes to the scene because she is like working, and so it's like the healing journey of like dealing with like being the one to like get him out of the truck and things like that. So I feel like she really gets the emotional like turmoils of the job correctly, and like the demands of like the emotion, and how like if it's somebody you love, like in that scenario, which those types of things do play out in real life. I think she gets those elements right and the balance right. And like I want to do this job because I feel like it's my calling type of thing.
Yeah. So Jen,
I actually put a note, like I have my list, and then like my note at the end is they don't normally allow you to treat people you know.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's not good.
My husband is a smaller town, too. So it's like,
doesn't matter.
Nope. I needed the squad once. My husband diagnosed me. He had to leave. Like, he couldn't even come with me.
Yeah. So I have a couple that I thought, go ahead, Lindsay. Do you have any that do a good balance of the job and the romance?
I think that one of the things they don't show enough is like in, they mention like they're on call, but somehow magically they rarely ever get called. Mm-hmm. And like, that's not realistic. Like, they don't show the demands of the job. Like, they, the way that it's portrayed, I get very frustrated with it in particular, because they often show, like, romance has a tendency to show situations where the relationship is the number one priority. When you are with a first responder, that is not the case. The job takes Jenny's nodding, so I'm getting this.
Yes.
The job takes precedence over everything. Like, if you're dating a guy in the military and he gets called for duty, like, he's not going to come home and be with you unless something really bad happens. Like, it's just, like, the realism of that demand is not portrayed enough. And, like, the commitment that it takes to actually be with these people is not portrayed accurately. And it romanticizes these. And then I really hope we don't have poor women going out here saying, I can handle a relationship because this guy is going to be super hot. Like, great. That's not realistic. Like, we're setting real, real dramatically different expectations in romance for, like, what those jobs consist of. And I don't think that it's necessarily bad. I just think that it's a very glaring issue.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that assessment, Jenny. I think that there's a lot of jobs, though, in Romancelandia that are not accurately portrayed, because yes, first responders require a whole demand of your time and it is first priority, but, you know, that happens to, if you are married to someone that's like in technology and a website goes down, it doesn't matter that you had plans to go to dinner, they have to work. Like,
yeah, but like EMS, like, is definitely a different level. I've had years of therapy, and this is something that comes out a lot, is like, my emergency is second. Like, even if I have a personal emergency, like, everybody else's emergency takes priority over that. So, like Lindsay was saying, like, I mean, technology is an emergency, but if you have an emergency, hopefully,
no,
you're. See, that's just, yeah.
Also, like, the other thing is, like, that becomes a huge factor. Like, a lot of people don't stay in the profession once they get married and have kids very long because of that. Mm-hmm. And, like, when you see, like, an epilogue in these, like, very rarely do they address that aspect.
Mm-hmm.
And, and I think that's such an interesting romance, personally. Like, you have potential here for, like, marriage in peril situations. Like, you have potential here for, like, falling in love with someone, or like a second chance situation. Like, there's so many things that can be done to play with that dynamic that just, it's such, I see it more as a missed opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
I did want to say,
yeah.
Allison was asking a little bit about Kate Meter. I looked it up. Her Hot in Chicago series is in Kindle Unlimited, but she has a rookie Chicago firefighter series that's only in Kobo Plus. So, just sorry.
I think she also has a Boston series, though.
Isn't the Boston series the newer firefighter series? I think it's still wide.
Is it still wide?
I don't think she moved everything over.
Well, I think she's one who floats in and out.
I think she does too.
No, she doesn't have a Boston.
But she has more than one firefighter series, doesn't she?
She has her Hot Chicago and then her Chicago Rebel, or her Chicago rookie Rebels.
Okay, the Rebels are the,
I could have sworn there's Hot in Chicago, and then there's Rookie Rebels. I could have sworn she had... Okay, somebody else has a Boston firefighter series.
Well, isn't it maybe... Doesn't Casey Shea, isn't she a Boston firefighter series?
I've never read her. Okay, so what are some of your favorite romantic relationship dynamics in the first responder that had, like, really dynamic relationships? Do you have any book recs for that? I have Tattered and Torn... she's the EMT, he's the firefighter, and it works in that small town situation. I think in that book, because it felt more similar to the way, like, my small town's EMT is run. Like, separate company, not full shifts. I think it's more like half shifts, not full days, that kind of situation. For EMT, that's what I had.
Well, because like that's how, like where I live, like most of our EMTs are volunteer. They're not volunteer, right. But they're volunteer at the same time. Like they do get paid.
They get paid, but they don't get paid. Volunteer, yes.
Yeah. So it's like they basically have to work around like other people's real jobs. Not that that's not a real job, but it's like everybody has a job. Right. And then the EMT thing is the second. So it's like the shifts for like my area are very different. Even like our firefighters, we have a fire district, but it's all volunteer. So it's like when the bells go on, like my office is right across the road from the fire department right now. And so like you see people like driving in and running into the building, and it's actually entertaining, but it's not, because like that means something bad is happening, but it's fun to see that like aspect, because like we don't have an in-house like fire department. But for me, the Redeeming Love series by J.E. Parker, like all the males except for two, I think, in the series, or maybe it's just one, are all part of like two different fire stations. But those relationships are like very dynamic, and they all have very healing journeys, and they're all a little bit, all the males are a little bit damaged. Some of the females are too, but it's really good.
Which, I mean, I think we've touched on it a few times, which would be realistic. Like these people have, like they've seen some things.
They have. And like, and some of them, like they went into this as like to redeem like bad behaviors when they were younger, so it's like them like being better people, but it's still hard for them because it's not an easy like position. But honestly, people, if you have not read that series, like if you need a good ugly cry, it is fun to read, because I ugly cry at every book.
Lindsay, do you have any with dynamic relationships?
I don't know, I'm just going to recommend another firefighter book
just
that I love.
Give us you another firefighter
Top
book
by
that you
Avery
love.
Flynn.
Which one?
Muffin Top by Avery Flynn.
He is a firefighter
on vacation, I believe.
Well, no, he's forced. It's a forced vacation because he was told by his captain. Because I was skimming today while I was. He's basically told you haven't taken any leave or like for weeks or years, like you have to take years. 3 weeks off.
But he's late coming to the date because of a fire call. It's a blind date in that one, right?
No, I don't think so.
I thought Muffin Top was a blind date.
No, Muffin Top's the one where he's like, Frankie's a man whore.
Right.
And is basically told by an ex hookup, like he's good for a good time. Like he needs to grow up. And then he sees Lucy. He's like, maybe I should do this.
Because in Tomboy, she's a nurse. Mm-hmm. And I will say,
I had that one on my list too.
I will say.
Sorry, Lindsay. I didn't mean to take your like thunder there.
By all means, this is the whole point of these conversations.
Okay, Lindsay, what other firefighters do you have? Lindsay, do you only have firefighter romances in your list?
I do.
It's fine. I just wanted to clarify.
Well, I mean, I had the Getting Real by Emma Chase, and I did like some of the Jay Salmon ones, but I don't really like doctor romances.
That's fair. I think that's fair.
I don't really like them. I like the nurse romances. Friends Without Benefits by Penny Reed is another cute one. Like I like that one a lot. That's a really good one. And it doesn't get enough love. It is.
It's a good
one. She's the doctor.
She is. Yeah. And then, that one with Dr. Ken, male with Dr. Ken. I forget what that one's called. But when him and Steven.
Sticking to the script. But
yeah, anyway.
Della Weaver.
I like those doctor romances.
It's fine. What do you got, Heather, for dynamic relationships?
There's a series by Romeo Alexander. It's a small town. And there's some firefighters and EMTs embedded in, it's called the Fair Lake, Men of Fair Lake. Obviously it's all male. That's all I got for you people. For some reason, there is a lot of male, that are, I don't know, firefighters, let's see.
Okay, Muffin Top, the reason I thought it was a blind date is because she's eating by herself. A guy approaches her and said she wouldn't be eating by herself if she'd eat a salad because she's a bigger, curvier girl. Mm-hmm. And Frankie steps in and apologizes for being late to their date.
Mm, so. That's right. So Mariah Ankenman.
Not your what? Turn yet. Not your turn yet. Heather, do you have any others? We are going to have to like.
So it's called Fearless. It's a Fin Factor series by J.R.G. Alexander. It's an MMM, and I believe one's a nurse and one's like an EMT or a paramedic. And that whole series is very, very good. They own a bar too.
Super spicy. Okay, yeah, Jenny, your turn before Leah comes back with like her 87 book recs.
Letter Late Than Never by Lauren Conley. That's the great guy here. It's like he's a paramedic. She's a postal worker. They have like a fake relationship. Yeah, that one.
The
was
mental
really
health
good.
Rep in that one is amazing.
Yeah, the reason for him like moving back, and yeah, it was really well done. I was surprised nobody mentioned Beauty and the Mustache by Penny Reed. Ashley is a nurse, and watching her mom die is different when you have a medical background.
Mm-hmm. Indeed, had all the Penny Reeds, so I stayed away.
I know that it's not and I know that it wasn't like. Actually, this probably I'll save this one for character development, or we can just give up on my questions and start doing book recs.
Why don't we just give up on your questions?
That's fine. I was having to like trying to have a real like conversation, but whatever.
I mean, we can still answer the questions, but.
Well, we went very out of order. Like one of the topics I've talked about ad nauseum.
That's okay.
Well, one of the topics you brought up is like not like marriage in crisis and like second chance. Which when you said that, I was like, yeah, that is overlooked because, you know me, like I had checked my facts, like the First Responders Initiative says that 60 to 75% of first responders, first marriages in divorce.
Interesting.
Wow.
That's a fact they pretty much drill in your head as soon as you're like on a fire department or EMS. Like it's hard.
So I've already talked about this a lot, but like Getting Real by Emma Chase, like he is divorced. He's a doctor who is divorced. His wife leaves him with his kids. So now he's a single dad doctor with, I think, three boys. And his wife has left him because she felt neglected in the marriage and she was just done. So she leaves him. And then that's where the story starts out, like with him in that situation. And I think that's why I like it, is because it feels like a very real scenario. Like he has to come to terms with his job, and then he's not dating. Like he's just barely struggling. And I like it when they show those elements.
Well, I like it when they show the male, like single parent is struggling. Uh-huh. Like he has a good job. He has a family like supporting him, but he still struggles. And like, I feel like so many authors are like, oh, the single mom is the only one that struggles. That is not true, people. The single dad struggles just as much.
Just as uh-huh. much. So in Rosie and the Dreamboat, which is a novella, he is a hot firefighter. And he actually kind of gets picked on for being so good looking. And he really, like in that short novella, we get tons of character development on him and how he is more than just being a hot firefighter. And he's so sick of everybody, you know, calling him Romeo and the Dreamboat, and but it also made me never want to be in one of those float tanks. So there you go.
Yeah, I was gonna. Isn't that the water pod thing?
No, thank you.
It was not okay. Okay, so we'll start down with Lindsay. Lindsay, give us another rec: EMT, firefighter, doctor, nurse. What you got?
Well, we've also had that novella from. That series, which I can't remember which one it was.
The Worst Wingman Ever, where she's the nurse.
Yes. the worst wingman ever. That's where she's the hospice nurse. But that's where she's actually taking care of her grandma.
Yeah, the family hires her to be the hospice nurse for her grandmother's yeah. end of life.
What kind of assholes yeah. are they?
No, she kind of chose to do it because it got her home, because she was kind of a traveling hospice nurse.
Oh, okay. I was so it got say, her home.
But that was a really great book, too.
It was a good one. But I also think, like, it opens up another thing where, like, the hospice care, when it is in a book, it's not very realistic. That is also...
Well, that's so depressing. I wouldn't want to read that.
Yeah.
No offense.
I wouldn't want to read it, but they make it seem, like, very peaceful, and it's not.
No.
Okay, it's way to bring the vibe down, Lynn.
Okay.
Like, that's what I would know.
She's coming with the facts.
Leah, do you have a book rec? A book rec. EMT, firefighter, nurse, or doctor.
Can I just do a series? Because Mariah
knew she
Aikenman
was gonna say that.
As a her Mile High Firefighter series. But book three, the hero and the heroine are both firefighters. So that adds a new dynamic to it. But if you haven't read that series, book one, they have an adorable, like, awkward meet cute.
But book two is the best because she thinks he's a stripogram.
Yes. It's just a really fun series, but, like, yeah. Mariah Ankeman's Mile High Firefighters.
Okay, Heather, do you have a book rec for EMT, firefighter, doctor, or nurse?
Yeah, I have, I got two. It's called TMI. It's by Leslie McAdams and two other authors. And it's an MMM. One's a firefighter. The other one is, like, I think maybe there's two firefighters. And Small Town, so cute. And then Up in Flames by Eden Finley and Saxon James. It's really good.
Jenny, do you have one of someone, EMT, firefighter, doctor, nurse?
The Bailey Brothers by Claire Kingsley. There's two firefighters, okay. The twins, but Chasing Her Fire, he does, he gets called up for wildfire fighting. Which Lindsay mentioned earlier, they seem to get right more often, which is always interesting because when there's really big wildfires, like, firefighters can volunteer to go out there. Yeah.
Yeah. The Good Luck Charm by Helena Hunting. She is a nurse, and it has really good representation of shift and schedule and the chaos of life as a nurse. Mm-hmm. And being, like, out of touch and unavailable, even when he's like, I don't understand why you're not available. She's like, because I had to work and I can't answer my cell phone. Okay. Is there any other book we haven't mentioned that you would really, really like to mention before we move on to the next piece? Anybody? Okay.
No.
I will say I have a couple authors to list for you. Kate Mader has some of the best firefighters. Maggie Gates, Ophelia Martinez, she does get her Heartland Metro Hospital series done very well. Zoe York does a pretty good job, too. Erin Nicholas has a few. Stacey Kennedy has a couple that are firefighters that are really well done. And J.C. Burton has
her. Erin actually has a whole, she's renamed the series, but it was like a whole, like, first responder medical series. I actually am not sure where it falls now because she revamped a lot of it.
Isn't it part of Sapphire Falls?
No, I think part of it is Bad Boys of the Bayou and part of it is in a different one. Like, she kind of split it because it was like, yeah.
And then J.C. Burton has her Brotherhood by Fire series also. Okay, those are the book recs. You can find them listed on our On the Shelf show notes tomorrow morning. Does anybody want to do the quote of the week segment?
I can do it.
You can do it. Go ahead.
Wait, I just have to find it. Give me a second.
Okay. I can do it.
Okay, do it.
Lindsay's got it.
Go, Lindsay.
I had to scroll and it was at the bottom.
Go ahead. Our new segment, Can You Guess the Book? Each week we will share a quote from a recent or popular Buzzing About Romance read. You have the chance to email us your guess at quote@buzzingaboutromance.com. We will announce the correct guess on each week's show. So, last week's quote, here I am trying to be a changed man, and it's an angel attempting to provoke the devil to come out and play. Who guessed it? The Fallen One by Brittany
Sahin. Sahin.
I read all of her books. I don't know how to.
It's okay. She'll forgive
me. It's all right.
Lindsay and Amanda are the ones who guessed it last week. Like before I even had it.
Does that even count?
No, they don't. They are seriously stage five clinger is very accurate.
Even her dog guessed it. Okay, now give everybody this week's quote.
She's the beautiful woman, Gran mused. The perfect match for you. Every good man needs a woman who's way out of his league, and I mean way, way out.
Okay. So awesome. You can send your guest to us at quote at buzzingaboutromance.com, and we will give you the winner next week. Also, just a side note, next week we're recording on Friday night of this week. Mm-hmm. And it'll be Leah and I with Krista Sandor and Aaron Nicholas.
So it is going to be a
Show up, you guys. Like, those two will be able to interview
They've never met.
It doesn't even matter.
We are so excited because, I mean, Krista is a hoot and a half, and so is Aaron. And when we put those two together, Becky and I are basically going to be there to so it doesn't go off the rails.
We have no
more than normal. I mean, I'm
Friday night, 9 o'clock, right here on this YouTube channel.
It's going to be the best time.
Okay, guess what time it is, guys?
It's that time
for Book of the Week. Book of the Week time. Jenny, what's your Book of the Week?
Reserved by Ashley Jacobs and S.S. Rich. It is South Bay Billionaires Book 2.
Is this the series that I accidentally was like, hey, has anybody read this? I've yet to read this.
Yeah, I was I have it, but I'll read it. Oh, I will also read Book 2. Book 3 is not out.
You're welcome.
She's a caterer, and he is a billionaire in venture capitalism. And what I really like about this series is like the characters make mistakes, the women, like, they own it and they are badasses and get back on the horse and like take charge. Like, this is what I need, take it or leave it.
Nice. Leah, what's your Book of the Week?
My Book of the Week is actually a reread for me because I was doing research for this in Think Twice by Stephanie Rose. So this book is actually really interesting. It's a second gen book, but it's four different points of view. So it's like two relationships that are building at the same time. So the one hero is a firefighter who has gotten hurt. So he's going through rehab, and his physical therapist is like the younger sister of a friend that they knew growing up. And then the other couple is his best friend and his little sister, who is 8 years younger than them. So it's actually really well done. Like the transitions, like you would think it'd be confusing with the four people, but it's all first person point of view. But I really just, Stephanie Rose, like, I don't read her a ton, but I've really enjoyed what I have read by her. But it's a good one. And it's having those four points of view, but two separate relationships is not something you always get. But they're like, the timeline is like,
it works
in sync, and it works really well. Okay. Yeah.
Heather, what's your Book of the Week?
Lights, Camera, Passion by Isabel.
Is this the one that I sent you? And I was like, wow, this sounds super spicy.
You're like, this sounds like you. And I was like, yes, please. Thank you so
Lucerio.
Much.
Lucerio.
So it is, it's a male, obviously. And they're two actors. They're young-ish. They're in their upper 20s. And they're one's like an up-and-coming star, and one is like really a star. And they're in this movie that's being made from a book. And they have some tension, and they're trying to, and I'm at the spot where I'm pretty sure it's just going to explode. It is very good. I really like the beginning. The writing style is different than what I'm used to. Like, I'm also not really good at like, what person is it, first person, second? Like, I don't know.
I think I she writes
I and me.
I like I, is it I just I? Have a book and read it.
I think I she know. Writes third person. I do think she writes third person.
Aren't you a Does teacher,
she use
Heather?
Their first names? Like, she went to the store, she went down on him, or did it say I went down on him?
Me,
my cock.
I don't remember. I might have to go back in.
It's fine. Let's stop saying things like my cock randomly. in this conversation.
Engrossed. It's very good, and it doesn't come out.
I think that needs April to be a sticker. 8th. Heather okay. doesn't know points of view.
Jenny.
I love you so much for that.
Jenny, especially because she's a school teacher.
I know, it makes it worse.
Jenny. What was your book of the week? Oh, we already did your book of the week.
I already did mine. First.
Lindsay's. What's your book of the week? Heather's got me all confused.
The rules
the point
are really
of view.
Good.
What was yours, Lindsay?
I read a lot of books this week. I listened to a bunch. And the reason I listened to a bunch was because there were so many. Like, I found a whole series in Audible Plus that was on my TBR for a long time. Carly Phillips, the entire Kingston and Dare family series. I read 8 of these books. They're like 5-hour reads each. You can just go through them. They're billionaires. They're all very good books. They're all very well narrated. I think Connor Crace is in the first 5. I can't remember who else is with him. Anyway, Jason Clark. I know the guys. Jason Clark. Dares, like once we get into the Dares, it's them, but they're all really good. It's a big families. They're like kind of mismatched families. Like
it's like half siblings and cousins and
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, and don't they like discover siblings as the series goes on?
Yeah. In the first book of the series, Link, the main character, has found out after his dad has passed away that he has a sibling who has been in foster care and basically has been just like abandoned. And he goes and finds a sibling through this, like his best friend, who is his assistant.
And he knocks up. Him,
and then, you know.
He does. He knocks her up.
I like that series a lot.
It is really good.
Anyway.
It's first person.
It's first person. Okay.
Thank you.
My book of the week is On the Rebound by Kate Willoughby. It is a single dad nanny. He has a stalker, so he hires a British nanny who is a complete badass. This is basically Mary Poppins meets hockey. Like, she's kind of nanny bodyguard in the way she's trained. It's also an age gap, super spicy. I really enjoyed it. Like, it was a quick read. Highly recommend On the Rebound. Okay, special announcement. I have a special announcement.
Special announcement.
Special announcement. So those of you who might be part of the Patreon, you know about our special announcement. And I did release it today or yesterday over on Instagram. But as we are getting ready to go into celebrate our 4th year and start our 5th year of podcasting, we've made the choice to kind of change some things up a little bit. Starting April 28th, Quick Shots Romance will go exclusively to a weekly drop over on Patreon. They might become more frequent than a week. It just depends on what we're reading and how many we can get recorded. But we are introducing a new episode style that's going to be more of a book club format. We will be spoiling books.
Oh, yeah. I'm so excited.
This will be coming to the feed starting May 1st. And what we're hoping you'll do is read along, grab a drink, and discuss with us, because we will be recording these episodes live right here on YouTube, just like we do for our Sunday episodes. So starting May 1st, 9 p.m. every Wednesday, we will be book clubbing it. And you, if you are part of Patreon, then you can see our lineup for the first month. But then everybody else will get that information tomorrow, April 1st. So you'll want to tune in live every Sunday and Wednesday right here at 9 o'clock for our riveting episodes. Anyway,
no holds bar episodes.
They are. I mean, I'm really excited for this new format and for the coming titles that we have in the works. And mm-hmm. I think it'll give us a chance to really kind of break apart what works in a book for us and what doesn't work in a book for us. So,
well, and we don't have to be vague. Because
right.
Spoilers, friends.
There will spoilers be spoilers. Leah, do you want to do the Patreon update?
Patreon update.
Patreon update.
Okay. Exciting news, romance lovers. Brace yourselves, because the highly anticipated swag packs for March have officially landed in the hands of our amazing Patreon supporters. This month, we're thrilled to have the incredible Siobhan Davis and Marie Johnston as our sponsoring authors. And trust us, these packs are bursting with romance-filled treats. But here's the best part. If you're eager to get your hands on April's swag pack, there's no time to waste. Join our Patreon family now to ensure you don't miss out on the next wave of exclusive goodies. Inside each swag pack, you'll discover an array of delightful surprises, from romance-themed stickers to mood reading cards, carefully curated to ignite your passion for love stories. Plus, here's a little something extra special. We're spreading the love worldwide, so international shipping is on us. But that's not all. By becoming a member of our Patreon community, you'll unlock a treasure trove of perks, including access to exclusive episodes in the enchanting world of the Buzzing Book Club. It's a never-ending romance adventure just waiting for you to dive in. Eager to stay in the loop with all of our exciting events and gatherings? Don't forget to subscribe to our newsletter for the latest updates on our upcoming events and exclusive contents. And we are sending those out weekly now. We have been really good about that. And be sure to check out our events calendar over at bookcasingcoffee.com/events. From happy hours to IG Lives and book clubs, there's always something fun happening. So what are you waiting for? Join us on this enchanting journey of romance and become a cherished member of our Patreon family today. Here's to the love of romance and all things delightful. Cheers.
Cheers. And Leah got the cheers.
I did.
Okay. So, yeah, I'm just excited. Thank you guys for joining me for this episode.
It's always a good time.
Good time.
As we wrap up today's episode of Buzzing About Romance, we want to extend a huge thank you to Leah, Jenny, Lindsay, and Heather for their insightful contributions and engaging discussion on first responders and romance novels. We hope you, our listeners, have enjoyed exploring the complexities of these professions and the captivating love stories that unfold within them. Remember to stay tuned for future episodes where we will continue to explore the diverse and thrilling world of romantic literature. Until next time, stay fabulous, stay flirty, and keep buzzing about romance. Until next time, everyone.
Happy reading, everybody.
Find us on Instagram at Buzzing About Romance or on Twitter at Buzzing Romance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.